The following afternoon, he stood in court facing the judge and regretfully and humbly proclaimed, "I am responsible and I am sorry." No one knew or expected this was going to happen. It took a few moments before the judge could grasp what just happened. I had played tennis with Dr. Hu Len and this fellow on two or three occasions, and though he was most polite and considerate, I had judgments. However, at that very moment, I only felt tenderness and love for him, and sensed a huge shift in the entire courtroom as well. The judge and attorney's voices were now gentle, and all about him seemed to be looking at him with tender smiles. It was a moment. So when Dr. Hu Len asked if some of us would like to learn about this Ho'oponopono after tennis one afternoon, I jumped fast and high, anxiously waiting for the tennis game to come and go. It's been almost 20 years later, and I'm still awed by what I have since learned was the divinity working through Dr. Hu Len at Hawaii State Hospital. I am eternally grateful to Dr. Hu Len and the weird process he brought with him. By the way, in case you're wondering, this patient was found just plain guilty and was in a sense rewarded by the judge, granting his request to serve his sentence in a federal penitentiary in his home state where he could be near his wife and children. Also, though almost 20 years have passed, I received a call this morning from the former secretary of the unit wanting to know if Dr. Hu Len would be available anytime soon to get together with some of the old staff, most of whom have since retired. We will be meeting with them in a couple of weeks. Who knows what may unfold? I'll keep my antenna up for further stories. Peace. O.H.
And there it was. Dr. Hu Len had indeed accomplished a miracle at that hospital. By practicing love and forgiveness, he transformed people that were hopeless and in many ways considered throwaways of society. That's the power of love. I wanted to know even more, of course. As I was completing the first draft of my book, Zero Limits, I sent it to Dr. Hu Len for review. I wanted him to check it for accuracy. I also wanted him to complete any holes in the story about his years at that mental hospital. About 1 week after he received the book manuscript, he wrote the following email to me.
Awa Akua, this is a confidential note to you and to you alone. It comes from my reading the draft of Zero Limits. I have other comments to make on the draft, but I will leave them for later emails. Quote, "You're done," Morna said without being emphatic. "I'm done with what?" I replied. "You're done with Hawaii State Hospital." Although I sensed the finality of her comment, that summer day in July 1987, I said, "I have to give them 2 weeks' notice." Of course I didn't. It never came up to do, and no one from the hospital made mention of it. I never returned to the hospital, even when I was invited to attend my farewell party. My friends had it without me. The farewell gifts were delivered to the foundation office following the party. I loved my stay at Hawaii State Hospital in the forensic unit. I loved the folks on the ward. At some point, I don't know when, I passed from being staff psychologist to being a member of the family. I lived closely with staff, patients, rules, policies, cliques, and forces seen and unseen on the ward for 3 years. 20 hours a week. I was there when seclusion rooms, metal restraints, medication, and other forms of control were regular and acceptable modes of operation. I was there when the use of seclusion rooms and metal restraints simply evaporated at some point. When? Nobody knows. Physical and verbal violence evaporated too, almost completely. The drop in medication use occurred on its own. At some point, who knows when? Patients left the unit for recreation and work studies without restraints and without medical approval. The transformation of the ward from being crazy and tense to being peaceful simply occurred without conscious effort. The transformation of the ward to being chronically understaffed to being overstaffed simply took place. So what I want to make clear that I was a close and active family member on the ward. I was not an onlooker. Yes, I provided no therapy. I did no psychological testing. I attended no staff meetings. I did not participate in case conferences on patients. I did, however, become intimately involved in the working of the ward. I was present when the first in-ward work project, Baking Cookies for Sale, appeared. I was present when the first off-ward car washing appeared. I was present when the first off-ward recreation program started. I didn't carry out the usual functions of a staff psychologist, not because I felt they were useless. I just didn't do them for whatever unknown reason. I did, however, walk the ward, took part in the baking of cookies and in jogging and tennis games off ward. But more than anything, I did my cleansing before, during, and after each visit to the ward, week in and week out, for 3 years. I cleaned with whatever was going on in me with the ward, every moment and every evening, and if anything about the ward came up in my mind. Thank you. I love you. Peace of I. Ihaliakala.
I loved this further clarification. While it revealed a humbleness on Dr. Hulen's part, it also helped explain what he did and did not do while employed at the hospital. I wrote him back and asked for his permission to include the email here to share it with you. He wrote back one word, the one word I expected him to write, yes. I'm not done with what I can learn from this amazing man. We decided we should begin to lead seminars together and, of course, to author the book, Zero Limits. But at least now I had the complete story on how he helped heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals. He did it like he does everything, by working on himself. And the way he works on himself is with three simple words, I love you. This is the same process you and I can do too, of course. If I had to sum up the modernized self-identity Ho'oponopono method that Dr. Hulen teaches in a few short steps, it might look like this. 1. Continuously clean. 2. Take action on ideas and opportunities that come your way. 3. Continuously clean. That's it. It may be the shortest route to success ever created. It might be the path of least resistance. It might be the most direct route to the zero state. And it all begins and ends with one magical phrase, I love you. That's the way to enter the zone of zero limits. And yes, I love you. Epilogue, The Three Stages of Awakening. The other day, a reporter asked me, where do you see yourself a year from now? In the past, I would have given him a sincere accounting of what I hope to achieve. I'd talk about my plans, goals, and intentions. I'd tell him about my books. I'd tell him about books I wanted to write or things I wanted to be, do, or create, or buy. But because of all the work I've done with Dr. Hulen, I no longer state goals or intentions or make plans for the future. So I instead replied with the truth of this moment. Wherever I'll be will be far better than what I can imagine right now. There's more depth to that answer than you might first notice. It came from inspiration. The answer surprised me as I said it. It also revealed where my mind is these days. I'm more interested in this moment than the next one. As I pay attention to this moment, all the future ones unfold quite nicely. As I once told Dr. Hulen, my intention these days is to honor the intention of the divine. I relayed the reporter's question and my inspired answer to a friend just a few minutes ago. He loved it. He's been doing Ho'oponopono with me for a few months now, so he understood the ultimate truth. When you let go of your ego and the ego's desires, you allow something better to guide you, the divine. This new me and new understanding is all part of my transformation. This didn't all happen overnight, of course. But by saying I love you and the other statements, I've been led to a deeper awareness, what some might call an awakening, maybe even enlightenment itself. I came to understand there are at least three stages to this awakening, and they're almost a map of life's spiritual journey. They are Stage 1. You're a victim. We are virtually all born feeling we are victims. Most of us stay that way. We think the world is out to get us, the government, the neighbors, the society, the bad guys, in whatever form they seem to take. We don't feel we have any power. We're the effect of the rest of the world's cause. We gripe, complain, protest, and gather in groups to fight those in charge of us. Except for a party now and then, life in general sucks. Stage 2. You're in control. At some point, you see a life-changing movie, like The Secret, or you read a book, such as The Attractor Factor or The Magic of Believing, and you wake up to your own power. You realize the power of setting intentions. You realize the power you have to visualize what you want, take action, and achieve it. You begin to experience some magic. You start to experience some cool results. Life, in general, begins to look pretty good. Stage 3. Your awakening. At some point after Stage 2, you begin to realize your intentions are limitations. You begin to see that with all your newfound power, you never seem able to control everything. You begin to realize that when you surrender to a greater power, miracles tend to happen. You begin to let go and trust. You begin to practice moment by moment awareness of your connection with the divine. You learn to recognize inspiration when it comes to you and you act on it. You realize you have choice but not control of your life. You realize the greatest thing you can do is agree to each moment. In this stage, miracles happen, and they constantly astonish you as they do. You live, in general, in a constant state of amazement, wonder, and gratitude. I've entered the third stage, and maybe you have too by now. Since you've come along for the ride with me, let me try to further explain my own awakening. It may help prepare you for what you will soon experience, or help you better understand what you are currently experiencing. I had a glimpse of the divine in the first seminar with Dr. Hulen. It was during those first days with him that I stopped my mental chatter. I accepted all. There was a peace almost beyond understanding. Love was my mantra. It was the song always playing in my brain. But this glimpse didn't stop there. Whenever I was in the presence of Dr. Hulen, I felt peace. I'm sure it was the tuning fork effect. His tone affected mine. It brought me into harmony with peace. During the second seminar, I began to have what some would call psychic flashes. I saw auras. I saw angels around people. I received images. I still remember seeing invisible cats around Nerissa's neck. When I told her, she smiled. Whether the image was real or not, it sure altered her mood. She beamed. Dr. Hulen often sees question marks floating above people's heads, which tell him which person to call on in an event. Whenever he sees invisible symbols or beings, he adds, "I know it sounds crazy. Psychiatrists would lock someone up for saying things like this." He's right, of course. But once an awakening takes place, there's no looking back. In my first Beyond Manifestation weekend, I read some of the people's energy fields. They were in awe. I can't say this is a gift so much as it is an opening. A previously unused part of my brain turned on and lit up. Now my eyes see if I let them. I told Dr. Hulen, "Everything seems to talk to me. Everything seems alive." He smiled knowingly. By the time of my second Beyond Manifestation weekend, I had another Satori experience. Satori is a glimpse of enlightenment, a taste of the divine. It's as though a window slides open, and for a moment you merge with the source of life. It's as difficult to explain as trying to describe a flower from another planet. But by seeing that I could disappear and experience zero limits transformed me. I have that experience as a touchstone. I can recall it and return to it. On one level, this is wonderful, as it's my ticket to bliss. But on another level, this is just another memory, keeping me from experiencing this moment. All I can do is keep cleaning. Sometimes when I'm in a meeting, I'll relax, defocus my eyes, and I'll be able to see the truth behind a situation. It's as though time stops, or at least slows down. What I then perceive is the underlying tapestry of life. It's a little like peeling off the top level of a painting to find a masterpiece under it. Call it psychic vision, X-ray vision, divine sight. I'd say Joe Vitale disappears into the zero state, or my eyes perceive it. There are zero limits. There just is. At that place, there's no confusion. It's all clarity. I don't live in that state. I still come back to reality. I still have challenges. When Larry King asked me if I had a bad day, I said yes, I still do. Dr. Hulen said we would always have problems. But Ho'oponopono is a problem-solving technique. As long as I keep saying I love you to the divine, I keep cleaning, and I return to the place of zero limits. The signal from zero is, if we try to put words on it, love. So saying I love you nonstop helps us tune in. Repeating it helps neutralize the memories, programs, beliefs, limitations in the way of your own awakening. As I keep cleaning, I keep tuning in to pure inspiration. As I act on that inspiration, better miracles than I could have ever imagined take place. All I have to do is keep at it. Some people think they understand the voice of inspiration by paying attention to the tone of the voices they hear in their head. A friend once said, "I know the difference between my ego's voice and inspiration's voice because the ego has an urgency to it and inspiration is gentler." I think this is deceiving. A voice that sounds harsh and a voice that sounds gentle are still voices from the ego. Even right now, as you hear these words, you are talking to yourself. You are questioning what you are hearing. You've come to identify with that voice and to think it's you. It's not. Divinity and inspiration are behind those voices. As you keep practicing Ho'oponopono, you keep getting clearer about what is actually inspiration and what isn't. As Dr. Hulen keeps reminding us, this is not a fast food approach to healing. It takes time. I'd add that awakening can happen at any time, even while listening to this book, or taking a walk, or petting a dog. The situation doesn't matter. Your internal state does, and it all begins and ends with one beautiful phrase, "I love you." Appendix, Zero Limits, Basic Principles. Number 1. You don't have a clue what is going on. It is impossible to be aware of everything happening in and around you, consciously or unconsciously. Your body and mind are regulating themselves right now without you being aware of it. And numerous invisible signals are in the air, from radio waves to thought forms, which you have no conscious sense of at all. You are indeed co-creating your own reality right now, but it is happening unconsciously, without your conscious knowledge or control. This is why you can think positive all you like and still be broke. Your conscious mind isn't the creator. Number 2. You don't have control over everything. Obviously, if you don't know everything that is happening, you can't control it all. It's an ego trip to think you can make the world do your bidding. Since your ego can't see much of what is going on in the world right now, letting your ego decide what is best for you isn't wise. You have choice, but you don't have control. You can use your conscious mind to begin to choose what you would prefer to experience, but you have to let go of whether you manifest it or not, or how or when. Surrender is key. Number 3, you can heal whatever comes your way. Whatever appears in your life, no matter how it got there, is up for healing simply because it's now on your radar. The assumption here is that if you can feel it, you can heal it. If you can see it in someone else and it bothers you, then it's up for healing. Or, as I'm told Oprah once said, if you can spot it, you've got it. You may have no idea why it's in your life or how it got there, but you can let it go because you're now aware of it. The more you heal what comes up, the clearer you are to manifest what you prefer, because you will be freeing stuck energy to use for other matters. Number 4, you are 100% responsible for all you experience. What happens in your life is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. The concept of personal responsibility goes beyond what you say, do, and think. It includes what others say, do, and think that shows up in your life. If you take complete responsibility for all that appears in your life, then when someone surfaces with a problem, then it is your problem too. This ties into principle number 3, which states you can heal whatever comes your way. In short, you can't blame anyone or anything for your current reality. All you can do is take responsibility for it, which means accept it, own it, and love it. The more you heal what comes up, the more you get in tune with the source. Number 5, your ticket to zero limits is saying the phrase, "I love you." The path that gets you peace beyond all understanding, from healing to manifestation, is the simple phrase, "I love you." Saying it to the divine cleans everything in you so you can experience the miracle of this moment. Zero limits. The idea is to love everything. Love the extra fat, the addiction, the problem child or neighbor or spouse. Love it all. Love transmutes the stuck energy and frees it. Saying, "I love you," is the open sesame to experience the divine. Number 6, inspiration is more important than intention. Intention is a toy of the mind. Inspiration is a directive from the divine. At some point, you'll surrender and start listening, rather than begging and waiting. Intention is trying to control life based on the limited view of the ego. Inspiration is receiving a message from the divine and then acting on it. Intention works and brings results. Inspiration works and brings miracles. Which do you prefer? How to heal yourself or anyone else and discover health, wealth, and happiness. Here are 2 Ho'oponopono proven ways to heal yourself or anyone else of anything you notice. Remember that what you see in another is also in you. So all healing is self-healing. No one else has to do these processes but you. The entire world is literally in your hands. First, this is the prayer Morna said to help heal hundreds, if not thousands, of people. It's simple but powerful. Divine Creator, Father, Mother, Son as one, if I, my family, relatives, and ancestors have offended you, your family, relatives, and ancestors in thoughts, words, deeds, and actions from the beginning of our creation to the present, we ask your forgiveness. Let this cleanse, purify, release, cut all the negative memories, blocks, energies, and vibrations, and transmute these unwanted energies to pure light. And it is done. Second, the way Dr. Hulin likes to heal is to first say, I'm sorry and please forgive me. You say this to acknowledge that something, without you knowing what it is, has gotten into your body-mind system. You have no idea how it got there. You don't need to know. If you are overweight, you simply caught the program that is making you that way. By saying, I'm sorry, you are telling the divine that you want forgiveness inside yourself for whatever brought it to you. You're not asking the divine to forgive you. You're asking the divine to help you forgive yourself. From there, you say, I love you and thank you. The I love you transmutes the energy from stuck to flowing. It reconnects you to the divine. Since the zero state is one of pure love and has zero limits, you are beginning to get to that state by expressing love. When you follow that statement with thank you, you are expressing gratitude. You are showing your faith that the issue will be resolved for the highest good of all concerned. What happens next is up to the divine. You may be inspired to take action of some sort. Whatever it is, do it. If you aren't sure about the action to take, use this same healing method on your confusion. When you are clear, you'll know what to do. These are simplified versions of the modernized Ho'oponopono key methods of healing. To better understand the self-identity Ho'oponopono process, sign up for a workshop. Go to www.ho'oponopono.org, and if you want to sign up for our mailing list to know when Dr. Hulin and I are doing our next event, go to www.zerolimits.info. That's www.zerolimits.info.
Special Report, Who's in Charge? By E. Haleakala Hulin, Ph.D. Thank you for coming along with me in reading this article. I am grateful. I love self-identity, Ho'oponopono, and dear Morna Nalamako Simeona Kahuna Lapa'au, who so graciously shared it with me in November 1982. This article is based on thoughts logged in my 2005 notebook. 9 January 2005. Problems can be solved without knowing what the heck is going on. Realizing and appreciating this is sheer relief and joy for me. Problem solving, part of the purpose for existence, is what self-identity, Ho'oponopono, is about. To solve problems, two questions must be addressed. Who am I? And who's in charge? To apprehend the nature of the cosmos begins with the insight of Socrates, quotes, Know thyself. 21 January 2005. Who's in charge? Most people, including those in the science community, deal with the world as being a physical entity. Current research in DNA to identify causes and remedies for heart disease, cancer, and diabetes is a prime example of this. The law of cause and effect, physical model. Cause, faulty DNA, effect, heart disease. Cause, faulty DNA, effect, cancer. Cause, faulty DNA, effect, diabetes. Cause, physical, effect, physical problem. Cause, physical, effect, environmental problem. The intellect, the conscious mind, believes it is the problem solver, that it controls what happens and what is experienced. In his book, User Illusion, Cutting Consciousness Down to Size, the science journalist Tor Narendra paints a different picture of consciousness. He cites research studies, particularly those of Professor Benjamin Libet of the University of California at San Francisco, that show that decisions are made before consciousness makes them, and that the intellect is not aware of this, believing that it decides. This is a quote from Paul Simon, poet, called Patterns. From the moment of my birth to the instant of my death, there are patterns I must follow, just as I must breathe each breath. Like a rat in a maze, the path before me lies, and the pattern never alters until the rat dies. And the pattern still remains on the wall where darkness fell, and it's fitting that it should, for in darkness I must dwell. Like the color of my skin or the day that I grow old, my life is made of patterns that can scarcely be controlled. Nora Trenders also cites research that shows that the intellect is only conscious of between 15 to 20 bits of information per second out of millions in reaction below its awareness. If not the intellect, consciousness, then who's in charge? 8 February 2005. Memories replaying dictate what the subconscious mind experiences. The subconscious mind experiences vicariously, mimicking, echoing memories replaying. It behaves, sees, feels, and decides exactly as memories dictate. The conscious mind, too, operates without its awareness by memories replaying. They dictate what it experiences, as research studies show. The law of cause and effect, self-identity Ho'oponopono model. Cause, memories replaying in the subconscious mind. Effect, physical, heart disease. Cause, memories replaying in the subconscious mind. Effect, physical, cancer. Cause, memories replaying in the subconscious mind. Effect, physical, diabetes. Cause, memories replaying in the subconscious mind. Effect, physical problem, the body. Cause, memories replaying in the subconscious mind. Effect, physical problem, the world. The body and the world reside in the subconscious mind as creations of memories replaying, rarely as inspirations. 23rd February 2005. The subconscious mind and conscious mind comprising the soul do not generate their own ideas, thoughts, feelings, and actions. As noted before, they experience vicariously through memories replaying and inspirations. Quote from William Shakespeare, playwright, "But men may construe things after their fashion, clean from the purpose of the things themselves. It is essential to realize that the soul does not generate experiences of its own, that it sees as memories see, feels as memories feel, behaves as memories behave, and decides as memories decide, or rarely it sees, feels, behaves, and decides as inspiration sees, feels, behaves, and decides. It is crucial in problem solving to realize that the body and the world are not the problems in and of themselves, but the effects, the consequences of memories replaying in the subconscious mind. Who's in charge?" Quote from Shakespeare, "Poor soul, the center of my sinful earth, thrall to these rebel powers that thee array, why dost thy pine within and suffer dearth, painting thy outward walls so costly gay?" 12 March 2005. The void is the foundation of self-identity, of mind, of the cosmos. It is the precursor state to the infusion of inspiration from divine intelligence into the subconscious mind. Quote from the book, The Biography of a Dangerous Idea, Zero. "All that scientists know is the cosmos was spawned from nothing and will return to nothing from whence it came. The universe begins and ends with zero." Diagram 1, self-identity, state of void. Memories replaying displace the void of self-identity, precluding the manifestation of inspiration. To remedy this displacement, to reestablish self-identity, memories need to be transformed to void through transmutation by divine intelligence. Quote from Morna Nalamaku Simeona Kahuna Lapa'au. Quote, "Clean, erase, erase, and find your own Shangri-La. Where? Within yourself." Quote from William Shakespeare, playwright, "Nor stony tower, nor walls of beaten brass, nor airless dungeon, nor strong links of iron, can be retentive to the strength of spirit. 22 March 2005. Existence is a gift from divine intelligence, and the gift is given for the sole purpose of reestablishing self-identity through problem-solving. Self-identity Ho'oponopono is an updated version of an ancient Hawaiian problem-solving process of repentance, forgiveness, and transmutation. Quote from Luke 6, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Ho'oponopono involves the full participation of each of the four members of self-identity: divine intelligence, superconscious mind, conscious mind, and subconscious mind, working together as a unit of one. Each member has its unique part and function in problem-solving, memories replaying in the subconscious mind. The superconscious mind is memory-free, unaffected by memories replaying in the subconscious mind. It is always one with divine intelligence. However divine intelligence moves, so moves the superconscious mind. Self-identity operates by inspiration and memory. Only one of them, either memory or inspiration, can be in command of the subconscious mind at any given moment. The soul of self-identity serves only one master at a time, usually memory, the thorn, instead of inspiration, the rose. Diagram 2, self-identity, state of inspiration. Diagram 3, self-identity, state of memory replaying. 30 April 05. Quote by John Clare, poet, "I am the self-consumer of my woes." Void is the common ground, the equalizer of all self-identities, both animate and inanimate. It is the indestructible and timeless foundation of the entire cosmos, seen and unseen. Quote from Thomas Jefferson, author, Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, all life forms are created equal." Memories replaying displace the common ground of self-identity, taking the soul of mind away from its natural position of void and infinite. Although memories displace the void, they cannot destroy it. How can nothing be destroyed? Quote from Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." 12 May 2005. The conscious mind can initiate the Ho'oponopono process to release memories, or it can engage them with blame and thinking. Diagram 4. Self-identity Ho'oponopono, problem-solving, repentance, and forgiveness. 1. Conscious mind initiates the Ho'oponopono solving process, a petition to divine intelligence to transmute memories to void. It acknowledges that the problem is memories replaying in its subconscious mind, and that it is 100% responsible for them. The petition moves down the conscious mind into the subconscious mind. 2. The downflow of the petition into the subconscious mind gently stirs memories for transmutation. The petition then moves up to the superconscious mind from the subconscious mind. And 3, the superconscious mind reviews the petition, making changes as appropriate. Because it is always in tune with divine intelligence, it has the capacity to review and make changes. The petition is then sent up to divine intelligence for final review and consideration. Diagram 5, self-identity, problem-solving, transmutation by divine intelligence. After reviewing the petition sent up by the superconscious mind, divine intelligence sends transmuting energy down into the superconscious mind. 5, transmuting energy then flows from the superconscious mind into the conscious mind. 6, and transmuting energy then flows down from the conscious mind into the subconscious. The transmuting energy first neutralizes designated memories. The neutralized energies are then released into storage, leaving a void. 12 June 2005. Thinking and blame, see graph 3, are memories replaying. The soul can be inspired by divine intelligence without knowing what the heck is going on. The only requirement for inspiration, divine creativity, is self-identity to be self-identity. To be self-identity requires incessant cleansing of memories. Memories are constant companions of the subconscious mind. They never leave the subconscious mind to go on vacation. They never leave the subconscious mind to go in retirement. Memories never stop their incessant replaying. Quote from Chaucer, Canterbury Tales, the man of Law's tale. O sudden grief that ever art near neighbor to worldly bliss, sprinkle with bitterness the ends of joy in all our earthly labor. Grief occupies the goal to which we press. For your own safety, think it no less. And in your days of gladness, bear in mind the unknown evil forging on behind. To be done with memories once and for all, they must be cleansed to nothing once and for all. It was in Iowa in 1971 that I fell head over heels in love for the second time. Dear M, our daughter, was born. As I watched my wife care for M, I fell deeper and deeper in love with both of them. I had two wonderful people to love now. After completing graduate school in Utah that summer, my wife and I had two choices to make: go home to Hawaii or to continue graduate training in Iowa. As we began life in the Hawkeye State, two hurdles immediately confronted us. First, M never stopped crying when we brought her home from the hospital. Secondly, the worst winter of the century in Iowa history set in. Each morning for weeks on end, I kicked the bottom of the inside of the front door of our apartment and hammered its edges with my hands to break the entombing ice on the other side. Around her first year, bloodstains showed up on M's blanket. Only now, as I write this sentence, I realize that the constant crying was her reaction to the severe skin problem that was to be diagnosed later. I cried many a night as I helplessly watched M in fitful sleep, scratching herself. Steroid medication proved powerless to help her. By age 3, blood seeped continuously from cracks in the crooks of M's elbows and knees. Blood wept from cracks around the joints of her fingers and toes. Thick mantle of hard skin covered the inside of her arm and around her neck. One day, 9 years later, when M was about 12, she and her sister and I were driving home. Suddenly, I found myself turning the car around without conscious forethought and headed in the direction of my office in Waikiki. "Oh, you folks have come to visit me," Morna said quietly as the three of us trooped into her office. As she shuffled papers on a desk, she looked up at M. "Did you want to ask me something?" she said softly. M stretched out both arms, revealing years of pain and grief, etched in them up and down like Phoenician scrolls. "Okay," came Morna's reply, and she closed her eyes. What was Morna doing? The creator of self-identity, Ho'oponopono, was doing self-identity, Ho'oponopono. A year later, 13 years of bleeding, scarring, pain, grief, and medication came to an end. 5 May 2005. For self-identity to be self-identity moment to moment requires incessant Ho'oponopono. Like memories, incessant Ho'oponopono can never go on vacation. Incessant Ho'oponopono can never retire. Incessant Ho'oponopono can never sleep. Incessant Ho'oponopono can never stop as, quotes, "In your days of gladness, bear in mind the unknown evil, memories replaying, forging on behind." 30 June 2005. The purpose of life is to be self-identity, as divinity created self-identity in its exact likeness, void and infinite. All life experiences are expressions of memories replaying and inspiration. Depression, thinking, blame, poverty, hate, resentment, and grief are four bemoaned moans, as Shakespeare noted in one of his sonnets. The conscious mind has choice. It can initiate incessant cleansing, or it can allow memories to replay problems incessantly. 12 December 2005. Consciousness working alone is ignorant of divine intelligence's most precious gift, self-identity. As such, it is ignorant of what a problem is. This ignorance results in ineffectual problem-solving. Poor soul is left to incessant, needless grief for its entire existence. How sad. The conscious mind needs to be awakened to the gift of self-identity, wealth beyond all understanding. Self-identity is indestructible and eternal as its creator, divine intelligence. The consequence of ignorance is the false reality of senseless and relentless poverty, disease, and war, and death generation after generation. 24 December 2005. The physical is the expression of memories and inspirations taking place in the soul of self-identity. Change the state of self-identity, and the state of the physical world changes. Who's in charge? Inspirations or memories replaying? The choice is in the hands of the conscious mind. 7 February 2006. A leap into 2006. Here are four self-identity Ho'oponopono problem-solving processes that can be used, can be applied to reestablishing self-identity through voiding memories, replaying problems in the subconscious mind. 1. I love you. When soul experiences memories replaying problems, say to them mentally or silently, I love you, dear memories. I am grateful for the opportunity to free all of you and me. I love you can be repeated quietly again and again. Memories never go on vacation or retire unless you retire them. I love you can be used even if you're not conscious of problems. For example, it can be applied before engaging in any activity, such as making or answering a telephone call, or before getting into your car to go somewhere. Quote from Luke 6, love your enemies. Do good to them who hate you. 2, thank you. This process can be used with or in place of I love you. As with I love you, it can be repeated mentally again and again. 3, blue solar water. Drinking lots of water is a wonderful problem-solving practice, particularly if it is blue solar water. Get a blue glass container with a non-metallic cover. Pour tap water into the container. Place the blue glass container either in the sun or under an incandescent lamp, not a fluorescent lamp, for at least an hour. After the water is solarized, it can be used in several ways. Drink it, cook with it, as a rinse after a bath or shower. Fruits and vegetables love being washed in blue solar water. As with I love you and thank you processes, blue solar water voids memories replaying problems in the subconscious mind. So, drink away. 4, strawberries and blueberries. These fruits void memories. They can be eaten fresh or dried. They can be consumed as jams, jellies, and even syrup on ice cream. 27 December 2005, a leap back into 2005. I got the idea a few months back of a talking glossary of the essential characters in self-identity Ho'oponopono. You can get acquainted with each of them at your leisure. 1, self-identity. I am self-identity. I am composed of four elements: divine intelligence, superconscious mind, and subconscious mind. My foundation, void and infinite, is an exact replication of divine intelligence. 2, divine intelligence. I am divine intelligence. I am the infinite. I create self-identities and inspirations. I transmute memories to void. 3, superconscious mind. I am superconscious mind. I oversee the conscious and conscious mind. I review and make appropriate changes in the Ho'oponopono petition to divine intelligence initiated by the conscious mind. I am unaffected by memories replaying in the subconscious mind. I am always one with divine creator. 4, conscious mind. I am conscious mind. I have the gift of choice. I can allow incessant memories to dictate memories or experiences for the subconscious mind or me, or I can initiate the release of them through incessant ho'oponopono. I can petition for direction from divine intelligence. 5. Subconscious mind. I am subconscious mind. I am the storehouse for all of the accumulated memories from the beginning of creation. I am the place where experiences are experienced as memories replaying or as inspiration. I am the place where the body and the world reside as memories replaying and inspiration. I am the place where problems live as memories replaying. 6. Void. I am void. I am the foundation of self-identity and the cosmos. I am where inspirations spring forth from divine intelligence, the infinite. Memories replaying in the subconscious mind displace me, but not destroy me, precluding the inflow of inspiration from divine intelligence. 7. Infinite. I am infinite. Divine intelligence. Inspirations flow like fragile roses from me into the void of self-identity, easily displaced by the thorns of memories. 8. Inspiration. I am inspiration. I am a creation of the infinite, of divine intelligence. I manifest from the void into the subconscious mind. I am experienced as a brand new occurrence. 9. Memory. I am memory. I am a record in the subconscious mind of a past experience. When triggered, I replay past experiences. 10. Problem. I am problem. I am a memory replaying a past experience again in the subconscious mind. 11. Experience. I am experience. I am the effect of memories replaying or inspirations in the subconscious mind. 12. Operating system. I am the operating system. I operate self-identity with void, inspiration, and memory. 3. Ho'oponopono. I am ho'oponopono. I am an ancient Hawaiian problem-solving process updated for today's use by Morna Nalamaku Simeona Kahuna Lapa'au, recognized as a living treasure of Hawaii in 1983. I am composed of 3 elements, repentance, forgiveness, and transmutation. I am a petition initiated by the conscious mind to divine intelligence, to void memories, to reestablish self-identity. I begin in the subconscious mind. 14. Repentance. I am repentant. I am the beginning of the ho'oponopono process initiated by the conscious mind as a petition to divine intelligence to transmute memories to void. With me, the conscious mind acknowledges its responsibility for the memories replaying problems in the subconscious mind, having created, accepted, and accumulated them. 15. Forgiveness. I am forgiveness. Along with repentance, I am a petition from the conscious mind to divine intelligence to transform memories in the subconscious mind to void. Not only is the conscious mind sorrowful, it is also asking divine intelligence for forgiveness. 16. Transmutation. I am transmutation. Divine intelligence uses me to neutralize and to release memories to void in the subconscious mind. I am available for use only by divine intelligence. 17. Wealth. I am wealth. I am self-identity. 18. Poverty. I am poverty. I am memories replaying. I displace self-identity, precluding the infusion of inspiration from divine intelligence into the subconscious mind. Before bringing this visit with you to an end, I would like to mention that reading this article satisfied the prerequisite of attending a Friday lecture if you are considering taking a self-identity Ho'oponopono weekend class. I wish you peace beyond all understanding. O Kamaluhia no me oi, peace be with you. E. Haleakala Hugh Lin, Ph.D., Chairman Emeritus, the Foundation of I, Inc., Freedom of the Cosmos.
This has been a Gildan Audio production.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.